John chapter 1. Last week we were in John 8, and we looked at how Jesus handled situations. There was a situation there with the Pharisees and the scribes and the way that they were trying to entrap Jesus, right? And Jesus' words, it was stirring up some controversy, right? They were some jealousy there with the scribes and the Pharisees, and they were like, how come he can gather attention and we can't pay people to care about what we have to say? And so there's some jealousy that's going on there with the scribes and the Pharisees, and so they're trying to entrap Jesus. And so they bring the woman who's caught in adultery. And they say, hey, look, what should be done with her? She was caught in the very act. And Jesus responded to them, and he said, look, those of you who are without sin, cast the first stone. And so that shut them down pretty quick. And then he talked to the Samaritan woman and expressed compassion towards her and some encouragement to go in her direction. And then we looked throughout the rest of John chapter 8, and we talked about the importance of following the words of Jesus Christ. Because when we're talking about discipleship, it's important to recognize that we cannot be a good follower of Jesus without doing what Jesus has to say. Jesus is not the type of leader that says, do as I say, not as I do, right? Jesus is the perfect leader. I think that we've probably all been in situations where maybe a boss or a teacher or somebody of authority has said, well, look, listen to what I say, not to what I do. Well, Jesus was the perfect example of his life and his lip matched, right? What he had to say and the way that he lived his life, those things matched. And so if we're going to be followers or disciples of Jesus Christ, we're going to follow what Jesus has to say. And he talks about how my words are life. He talked about how discipleship, okay, is for life. And that has a dual meaning there. Discipleship is for our entire life. And if we want eternal life, we need to be being disciples. You don't get to inherit eternal life without first being a disciple of Jesus Christ. And the real abundant life is found in following Jesus Christ. And so we kind of examined John 8 within that context of Jesus emphasizing the importance of his words. And I want to look more at Jesus' words today. I'm going to start in John chapter 1. You guys will have to forgive me. My notes are on my phone today, so I'm not texting and preaching. That would be, that would be one thing. You know, people text during assembly. I'm not texting and preaching. I'm looking at my notes here. So that's where we're at. I was glad I had my computer with me to be able to take a couple of pictures. My notes may or may not be on my kitchen counter right now. So really glad I have some notes, but here we go. So discipleship is there to receive life. John chapter 1 and verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Jesus is called the Word here, and we've talked before about how Jesus is the logical communication of God to man. His words are logical. We go to Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord, right? Though your sins were as scarlet, they will be made white as snow. Let us reason together. Jesus' words are logical. Jesus wants to take us through the process to be able to think through things. So while we saw in John chapter 8 that his words are controversial, his words are compassionate, okay, his words are logical. In the beginning was the Word. I don't know if I mentioned this or not last week, but okay, the Greek word there, logos, okay, it's where we get our English word logic. Jesus is the logical communication of God to man. Jesus' words, Jesus is going to communicate in a logical fashion. So that's why every word counts. See, when we read our scriptures, it's important that we read every word. Because it's really easy, for me at least, to read and to see what I've kind of always seen, or to see what I'm looking for. You know, that's easy to do. Because you have the way that your mind goes down a certain path, and we can kind of see what we're looking to see. But each and every word is important, and each and every word counts. And so God is looking to communicate to us in a logical manner so that we're going to really understand the nature of God. We're going to understand the nature of discipleship. All of those things are really important for life. Now, if we look at John chapter 6, John chapter 6, we're going to be in verse 63. John 6, 63. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. The words of Jesus are life. You cannot find life outside of the words of Jesus. You can't find life in a fulfilling and satisfying career. You can't find life in the latest and greatest self-help book. Okay? You can't find life in having a nice family. You can't find life in any of those things. Okay? It's not that. Okay, some self-help books don't have some decent stuff to listen to, depending on which ones they are. It's not that we don't want to have great families. We want to have awesome families, right? But life is found in the words of Jesus Christ. There's no other way to get to life except through hearing and believing and acting upon the words of Jesus Christ. Can't be a disciple without following the words of Jesus Christ. Let's see if I can come up with a good example. I think I've shared with you guys before, I kind of, for the most part, like to regulate my health with a ketogenic type diet plan. Now, I have bought into the ketogenic lifestyle. It's just what I do, and I did it way before it was cool, when people still called it Atkins. Okay, that's when I was doing it, and people always thought he died from a heart attack. He didn't, but whatever. Okay, that's, I can believe in that, okay? And you know what? Last night I had a baked potato. I know, it was pretty bad. So, it is possible, right, for us on an earthly plane to have things where, hey, I think that this is the best way, but hey, my birthday was a couple of days ago. Me and Brenna got to go out. I had some onion rings that were breaded and a baked potato. So, you know, man. So there can be some disparity there, right? Well, with Jesus, as true disciples of Jesus Christ, okay, there is a growth process where there might be a difference between where our lives line up and what Jesus' words are, but our goal is always to get in line with Jesus' words. That's what grace is there for, okay, is to span that gap between wherever we start and how we implement the words of Jesus Christ in our lives. So, as disciples of Jesus Christ, we can't just say, oh yeah, I affirm those words, but you know, I'm really going to go eat my baked potatoes spiritually, right? No, either you buy in or you don't. And again, I'm saying that within the context of grace, understanding that there is a time and a process by which we're continuing to put on the practicing righteousness. What I am saying is that we cannot reject the words of Jesus Christ or try not to put those into practice in our life and still claim to be disciples of Jesus Christ. Everybody following there? Okay, clear? Okay. Because I feel like I used a lot of words there that, man. Okay, so moving on. The picture went away. What's the deal with this? James chapter 1. I hate this. I'm an organized guy, and it just burns me up to not have all my ducks in a row this morning. So I do sincerely apologize, but we'll get through it here. So the words of Jesus Christ are life. The words of Jesus Christ we have to follow with all of our lives to receive life. And then we have to implement those words as we go as well. James chapter 1. Starting in verse 21. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves to be doers of the word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror, and once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But the one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. So the words of Jesus Christ, okay, those words implanted are able to save our souls. Okay? Receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. All right? Putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness. That's the old man, right? The new man, what does the new man do? The new man receives the word implanted. Renewal of the mind, receiving the words of Jesus, both the words that are in red and the words that are in black. Okay, they're all the words of Jesus. These are words from Jesus while he was on the earth, the words of Jesus from glory, Holy Spirit inspired, right? I mean, all the words of Jesus. Okay, so receiving the words of Jesus is what is able to save our souls. But we can't merely be hearers of this word. We have to put that hearing into action. And as we look at the perfect law, the law of liberty, that is the same mirror, the word of God, that as we look at it, okay, it transforms us into the very image of Jesus Christ. And so we continue to do as we are transformed. So we look at the word, and because we have the Holy Spirit inside of us, as we look at the word is doing its transformational process on us through the Spirit who resides inside of us. And so we are becoming conformed then into the image of Jesus Christ. And as we become conformed into the image of Jesus Christ, that changes our mind. And when our mind changes, eventually our actions change. There's a process that he takes us through. And that process is the discipleship process, right? Following the words of Jesus. Well, we have to hear the words of Jesus before we can follow the words of Jesus, right? Okay, and we have to have a relationship with Jesus before the Holy Spirit's going to be doing any sort of work inside of us. Right? And so there is a process that we are taken through, but that process is only going to be done through the words of Jesus. You can't have any other way except what Jesus has laid out in his scriptures. No other way to true life. Lots of people that are proposing ways to life, but the fact is only the words of Jesus which give true and meaningful life. And so those principles have to be put into action. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Remember a story of a guy who is studying with a non-Christian and is laying out the stuff about the essentiality of being immersed into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And a lady was, she was tracking, and basically they had worked and worked and worked through it. And he said, "Well, you got any questions? You understand this?" "Yep, I understand it." "Do you believe it?" "Yeah, that's what it says. I believe it." She said, "But I don't like it." And she didn't do anything about it. You know, a lot of people won't be that honest, right? A lot of people won't, "Oh, yep, this is true." Right? "This is true. I admit that it's true." Usually people will come up with excuses of why it's not true, right? This person was honest enough and said, "Yep, it's true. And you've proven to me that the Bible is the Word of God, and that's what the Bible says, but I don't like it. I'm not going to do it." We know that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But she has the right to be able to choose to do that later. I don't think she's going to like the consequences of that choice. She has the right to be able to choose to do that later. But that does come with consequences. Not following the words of Jesus comes with consequences. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. We'll start in verse 6. "For after all, it is only just for God to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and to give relief to you who are afflicted, and to us as well, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ." So retribution is going to be dealt out to two groups of people, right? There's two groups of people that retribution is going to be doled out or dealt out to are those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's who retribution is going to be doled out to. So those who do not know the words of Jesus Christ and those who do not obey the words of Jesus Christ, there are consequences to action. Now, we want to be those who are following the words of Jesus Christ. Okay, raise your hand if you want retribution, right? Like, eternal retribution, no thank you, right? Like, that is a pretty self-evident choice, right? Not a lot of us, you know, there's obviously the example that we used earlier. There's a disconnect about the reality of eternal punishment in that young lady's mind. But when we recognize that eternal punishment is real and we recognize the true abundant life that Jesus has for us now as his disciples, we're going to make sure that we do what it takes to get in line with his word. It's self-evident. Like, yeah, I want to do that. Right, I want to get on board with that. 1 Peter chapter 4. "For it is time for judgment to begin with the household of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God?" See, God didn't waste any words. Our discipleship is to be following the words of Jesus Christ. Judgment is going to start with the household of God. Okay, and then it says, what will be the outcome then for those who do not obey the gospel of God? So it's important for us to realize, okay, there, Jesus didn't waste any space here, okay, and he wants us to have life. So the question then becomes is, okay, how do I put these principles into action? It's not just a theoretical exercise where I can know the most about what Jesus has to say. It's like, okay, I got to put what I know into action in my everyday life to make those words become effective for me, because those words are life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There is a societal push, okay, for, I don't know how exactly I want to put this. There is a societal push against any sort of true conviction. There is a postmodern push against the idea of absolutes, right? And so the fact that there is absolute truth, the fact that we would say that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him, means that us and the Muslims don't serve the same God, right? It is not the same God. Okay? When Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, okay, and we say that, hey, you probably should pay attention to what Jesus said. It takes for us to be able to get in the way, right? For us to be able to be obedient to the truth, for us to be able to receive life, that if you don't do those things, okay, you don't get to the Father either. You know, that makes us all really small-minded bigots, right? That's basically what society is pushing in our direction. But what did Jesus say? Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. There's no other way to the Father except through Jesus. Okay? And so there's no compromise there. There's no being able to give a little bit to society there. It's, are we going to follow the words of Jesus Christ, or are we not going to follow the words of Jesus Christ? His disciples followed the words. Where we ended last week, my encouragement was, wherever you're at, take that next step, right? So the disciples are like, they're so confused most of the time. I mean, they are just, they're flabbergasted. Like, okay, Jesus, like, we're not quite sure if you're talking about cannibalism, right? Because Jesus is like, hey, take my flesh is true food, my blood is true drink. And like, the disciples are like, man, there are multiple times where the disciples are just like, Jesus, where else would we go? You know, because Jesus is like, hey, these words are hard for you. You going to leave me too? They're like, yeah, no, guess not. Where else are we going to go? We're committed at this point. His mom and his brothers come, and basically they want to get him institutionalized, right? Like, Jesus has lost it. We got a nice long white coat for him. Like, so they come to that point. And Jesus, he doesn't give up on his disciples. What's he say? He says, follow me. Right? Keep coming. Keep coming. Keep following me. Right? And so as we grow in grace and knowledge in Jesus Christ, okay, there are times where we just have to keep coming. Like, I don't quite see this full picture yet. Whether it's in my life or whether we're working through something doctrinally and trying to put all of the pieces together so that it fits quite right, or if we come across something that we don't quite understand, the encouragement is just keep following Jesus, right? Take one step closer to following Jesus. Be like, hey, whatever the Bible says, I'm going with it. That's what I'm going with. And I'm willing to go wherever that takes me. Wherever that takes me, I'm going to follow the words of Jesus Christ. Well, wasn't that what his disciples did? Wherever your words take us, that's where we're going to go. Did they have any idea that his words were going to take them to the cross? No, you can tell that their idea was that Jesus' words were going to take them to prestige and to power. That's where they thought Jesus' words were going to take them. Prestige and power, right? Okay, also, to defend the disciples a little bit, these are spiritual guys, right? These are spiritual guys, the cream of the crop, the best of the best. But what they thought deliverance was is deliverance from the Romans, right? So, hey, look, we, you know, you got, hey, can I have one of my boys on your right, one of my boys on your left, right? Now everything will be hunky-dory, good to go here. But, so they didn't think that following Jesus was going to lead them to a cross. And then they didn't know that following Jesus was going to lead them to stand up on the day of Pentecost, right? So even after Jesus has arisen, they're like, hey, let's restore that kingdom now. And he's like, well, you just stay in Jerusalem and, you know, the you'll know what to do, right? Power will come upon you when. So he presents the gospel message there in Acts chapter 2. And what do? They just keep following, right? They don't stay fishing. In between times, what are they out doing? They're fishing. They don't stay fishing. What do? They want to follow Jesus, right? Did Peter have any idea that following the words of Jesus were going to lead him to a Gentile's house? I mean, he prophesied it in Acts chapter 2, but he didn't put two and two together, right? And so there is a growth and a grace connection for us that as we follow our teacher, Jesus Christ, it's really important that we just take that next step. Wherever that is, take that next step in our discipleship process. And that has to include following Jesus' words. You don't follow Jesus' words, do not, you know, it's a non-starter. You got a car that won't start. When we're willing to follow Jesus' words, then we can follow his example in presenting those words to others. We can follow his example as he showed us in giving service to others, right? We're going to look, I think it's next week, we're going to look at how Jesus washed his disciples' feet, right? Jesus gave the example of service. To follow Jesus is to follow his service. Jesus had a system of duplication that he set up here on the earth. The most intricate system of duplication you could ever imagine, starting with just 12 guys. And we'll look at that and what that means in the context of us following Jesus. But before you can get to either of those things, okay, what we have to be committed to is we are going to follow Jesus' words. You don't follow Jesus' words? You're in the wrong place, right? You're interested in following Jesus' words, right? Let's take one step forward as you understand Jesus' words greater, okay? And as that discipleship process grows and you grow in grace and knowledge, right? Thanks. Davey?